Well, some of you are no stranger, Brother Murphy. He is a good preacher and enjoy listening to him preach. And he's been in evangelism for over 30 years or so. He started coming to church, my dad's church, back in 1988 and preaching there. So I know he's been doing it for a long time. He gives me a hard time, known me since I was four. So that's been a little while. So I just enjoy hearing him preach. And man, he brings the goods every service. And looking forward to what he has for us. Before he preaches, though, there is an adult ensemble. They're going to sing just before the message. Come on up.
Rejected, despised of men, suffering death's awful sting. Christ bought salvation at Calvary, now creation must sing. He must increase, I must decrease. Jesus the Savior who suffered and died, He alone should be magnified. Lift His name up to be praised and adored. He must increase, Jesus Christ the Lord. One day in heaven we'll meet our King, and His splendor we'll see. Numbered will serve the Lord, reigning eternally. Those who've rejected the Savior's love will the penalty pay.
Those who in heaven the Savior's name shall eternally say.
He must increase, I must decrease. Jesus the Savior who suffered and died, He alone should be magnified. Lift His name up to be praised and adored. He must increase, Jesus Christ the Lord.
Truth, and that should be the desire of every Christian, and to be more like Jesus. Be more like Jesus. And He left us an example out of following His steps. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His ways. Amen? Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. And what a blessing that is. And that He'll never leave us, never forsake us. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful to be here. And I know it's been a little while, but I appreciate the opportunity. And I thank the Lord for this ministry, this church, your pastor. Of course, I've known him for several years. And we've preached in quite a few meetings together. And he's a man of God. And I thank the Lord for that. And I've been preaching revival for 30 years. Back when Moby Dick was a minnow. That's a long time ago, amen? But anyways, I've preached for a lot of guys, a lot of people. And so I thank the Lord for your pastor. Genuine, real. And that's what, you know, I appreciate about people like, you know, Brother Angel. You know, guys that are genuine, real, and have an authentic love for the Lord, the ministry, and for people. And a lot of guys I'm around just kind of doing it as a, like a job, you know what I mean? The Lord came to this earth not to be ministered to, but to minister. Amen. And that's the beauty about your pastor. And he's here to minister, not to be ministered unto. Like a lot of preachers today think they ought to be ministered to. Who's with me? Amen. And so thank the Lord for that. But I appreciate this church and appreciate this opportunity and thank the Lord for it. I've been all over America and Iowa. I'm telling you, neighbor. Preaching the gospel. And practically need a passport to get in Iowa anymore. But anyways, you know, I have a good time preaching all over. Already this year, we've seen close to 300 people saved. To the glory of God. 2016. God is still in the soul-saving business. Amen. I know a lot of churches have gotten away from it. Away from soul-winning, door-to-door, confrontational evangelism. Going out in the highways, the hedges, compelling people to come in. That the house of God might be full. Way back yonder, when the primary started, Cruz won Iowa. And they asked him about winning Iowa. He said, my workers went out and knocked on 180,000 doors. Who's with me? Now, if it works for the politicians, you know, it ought to be able to still work for God's people. Knocking doors and getting out the word. And so praise the Lord for that. And then, you know, door-to-door evangelistic campaigns and all that. And so we thank the Lord for the opportunity. And we've had some good revival meetings. And I just preached in a church. I just, not long ago, preached in a church. It was in Iowa. The pastor called me and said, I'm going to be out of town. And I happened to be in town. And could you come down? 2-hour drive for me to go down there Wednesday night. And so I went down there on a Wednesday night. And I'd never preached in this church before. But I had met the pastor in a meeting somewhere along the way. And I went down there and showed up and I had the opportunity to preach to three people. Three people. Three people. Who's with me? Amen. And so they looked at me like, go ahead, run the show, man. And so I led the congregational music. I led the hymns, opened up in prayer, led another hymn, sang a solo, and then I said, we need to take up an offering for the visiting evangelist. He's a great man of God. We need to take up an offering for this man. But anyways, you know, you don't learn those things in church ed. You just go with it. Yeah, but it was a blessing. And then I went back again. He had me do it again on the following Wednesday. And the attendance doubled. We had 4 people. Who's with me? But to think about it, I gave the invitation and the whole church come forward. What about that? 100% on the altar. We have revival if 100% of God's people get on the altar. Amen. But it was a blessing, and thank the Lord for it. Is it safe for me to say that I've been hanging around with Doyce? Is that safe? I don't know. But he's kind of been taking care of me a little bit, and I appreciate him and Rachel. And we went out on a boat yesterday, and I'm still kind of swaying back and forth a little bit. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was on the floor thinking I was still on that boat. I don't know, but anyways. It was a blessing, and so thank the Lord for that. And we celebrated Michael Bragg's 34th birthday. Isn't that something? 34 years old. And so I met him when he was 4. Amen? But praise the Lord. And then to see these men, young men serving God. What a blessing that is. Young men that had the old time religion, philosophy, that's lacking today in our churches and in our Bible colleges. We're not training young men to go out and to serve the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. But I'm thankful to be here and appreciate it so very much. I'll read a few verses out of the book of Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and then we'll look at verse number 22. I'll read down through here. bring out a few thoughts. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Amen. And I know some of you are looking at me like you're trying to figure out, you know, my dialect, you know. But I grew up in Minnesota, amen, even though I don't sound like a Minnesotan. But I grew up in Minnesota, the land where few are thawed and many are frozen. It gets so cold up there, the gangbangers have to pull up their britches. Amen. But I lived in Oklahoma for a long time, and so I lived in Louisiana, I lived in Florida, I lived, you know, all over the place, but I was raised up in Minnesota. So I'm a half-Irish, half-Norwegian preacher with a hockey player's mentality, amen? And so you better sit up. We don't want to have to stick you in the penalty box. You say, where's the penalty box? The nursery. That's the penalty box. You don't want to end up there. But all Scripture given by inspiration of God. And aren't you thankful today we have that book that God wants us to have, the King James Bible, inspired, preserved. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Amen. It's the power of God. And we're lacking the power of God today because we don't have confidence. We've lost confidence in the King James Bible. So we think we have to go other places to get a better understanding of things. But you allow the Holy Spirit of God. His Spirit bears witness with my spirit, amen, that I'm a child of God. And so how can two walk together except it be agreed? A lot of division, dissension. But we as God's people need to understand God has a plan. God has a purpose for different things that are happening. We need to make sure we don't lose confidence in God. Don't lose confidence in what God wants to accomplish today. I know a lot of people today are getting upset. But we just need to, by faith, trust the Lord. He has a plan. And here in this passage of Scripture, He had a plan. He had a plan for His disciples, for His followers. And they were a little bit shy and hesitant about doing what God wanted them to do. They were a little set back. They were holding back. They're holding back like a lot of God's people. A lot of God's people holding back. That next step of faith, the children of Israel. I mean, the next step, they'd have been in the promised land, but they held back. Amen. Don't hold back on what God wants you to do. I mean, we ought to be sold out. Every fiber of our soul, sold out. Every avenue, every aspect. Every area of our life on the altar sold out to God. Amen. That's the only way we're going to have the supernatural power of God manifesting itself in our lives. Have the type of impact that God wants us to have upon society. Amen. We're holding back. The church is holding back. We're hesitant. And we need to understand here they were hesitant. They were a little bit intimidated by what was happening and what was going on. And God gave them a mandate, gave them a command. And the Bible says straightway that He constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him into the other side while He sent a multitude away. We're going to have the impact that God wants us to have and be the church, be the child of God. Have the influence. See a spiritual awakening. Is it possible? Can it happen? Has our country cross over the point of no return? Who's with me? Oh, I look at my own life. I'd got away from the Lord. Many thought I would cross the line, the point of no return. But God got a hold of my heart and set me on a path of righteousness, godliness, surrendered to God. And now I've been preaching the gospel for 30 years. Amen. All things are possible with God. Don't lose confidence in God. Amen. Oh, there's a lot of wayward people that God can still bring back into the fold. And there's a lot of bad things that are happening that God can still work, a mighty work of God, and manifest His power and His presence if we just determine to get on board with the Lord. Amen. A lot of people aren't on board. A lot of people aren't where they're supposed to be for the things of God. Not where we're supposed to be spiritually. Many times physically. Amen. Where are we supposed to be physically on a Sunday night? In church. Wednesday night? In church. Soul winning. Bus route. Working God. We're not where we're supposed to be. We're holding back. We've been intimidated by the situation. Sin. Satan. Fear. Frustration. Fatigue has set into the church today. We need to get on board with the Lord. Are you on board with the Lord this morning? Or are you holding back in some area? Some area of your life. Not stepping out by faith to the call of God. Amen. God call you. You better step out and commit yourself to the truths of God's Word. He constrained them to get into that ship. Who's with me? Say amen. That's an interesting word, constrained. That means that He literally was forcing them. Amen. Compel, force, urge, and influencing them with great urgency. Why? Time's running out. Our life's but a vapor, appeared for a little while, vanisheth away. Time's running out. Amen. We better get on board with the Lord. Time's running out. Jesus could come back at any moment according to the Scriptures. The next scheduled event according to the Word of God is the coming of Christ. Amen! Jesus is coming again. Do you believe that? Do you believe that tonight, this morning, that Jesus could come back tonight? Any time He could come back. We better get on board with the Lord. Amen. We need to stop holding back. He constrained. He was forcing them. Now, whether it was a verbal force, whether it was a physical force, you know, saying, come on, get on that ship. Grabbing them, pushing them along. Who's with me? I mean, listen, that's what you're doing in a football camp. I mean, you're trying to constrain some people. And screaming at them, yelling at them. Block that guy. Run that ball. Catch it. Go. Referees, open your eyes. Amen. Trying to influence the ref to make the right call. Constraining people. Why? They were holding back. They were hesitant. They were stepping out. Something was blocking them. Amen. Someone was in the way. And it was hindering them from fulfilling their will, the will of God for your life. The will of God for your life. And there's no greater joy than being in the will of God. God's constraining the church today. Amen. God's constraining society and the things that are happening. He's trying to constrain people. Why? We're too hesitant. We're holding back. We've lost confidence. We're not allowing the Spirit of God to accomplish His work in our heart. What does that mean to constrain? Well, when I was 15, my dad got saved. He was 36. My mom got saved. She was 38. 1974. And in 1975, they started serving the Lord in the bus ministry. I was 15 years old. My mom and dad served in that bus for 37 years. Amen. My mother developed congestive heart failure. And they stopped running that route. We started a church in Minneapolis and turned the route over to that pastor. And then my dad was on that bus route the day they started and the day they shut it down. But he's still in the bus ministry today, driving a bus. Matter of fact, he drives a bus that my two children work on. And the other day, someone asked my daughter, Michaela, 15 years old, who's that driving a bus? Do you know that guy? She said, that's my grandpa. Third generation bus workers! Whose women say amen? And I remember one Saturday after my dad took that bus route, he come into my bedroom. You need to understand, Dad, he's right there in that gray area of old school and caveman. I was raised by a man, amen. He came in my room, busted open the door. I was in bed sleeping, literally kicked me out of bed. I thought I was in trouble. I'd done something I couldn't figure out what it was. and I'm laying there and he's looking at me. I said, Dad, what did I do? He said, Son, God has just called you into the bus ministry. My brother's a year younger. He had the covers pulled up over his head. I said, what about Jeff? He said, don't worry about your brother. God's fixing to call him in a little bit. That's what I'm talking about. Constrain. Immediately. Straightway, the Bible says. Right now. Without hesitation. I mean, what is keeping you back? What's holding you back from stepping out by faith and being all you need to be for the cause of Christ? Amen. The impact. We'd have a greater impact if more of God's people to sell out. Amen. Because there's people I can't reach, only you can reach. There's people that, you know, Brother Angel can't reach, only you can reach. And people aren't being reached. Why? We're holding back. We're holding back in some area. Maybe giving, going. Area growing. We're just holding back. We're not allowing the Spirit of God somewhere along the line. We lost confidence. Oh, listen, he had to constrain them. God's constraining you this morning. Get into that ship of salvation if you're not saved. And what's keeping you back from getting saved? Amen? What's holding you back? Get into that ship of service. What's keeping you back from serving God? Amen. Selling out to God. We got on that bus route and we went out. Sometimes we'd spend 5, 6, 7 hours on Saturday. Out on a bus route. Get up early in the morning, Sunday morning. Get to the church. Fire the bus up. Run it all the way to Minneapolis. Our route went the farthest. All the way to Minneapolis. Pick up all those boys and girls. Bring them back to the church. They'd hear the gospel message. Many of them get saved. Take them back that afternoon. And get back home. Clean out the bus. Sweep it out. Get back to our house around 4:30. We didn't have time to watch a football game. We didn't have time for a hot meal. We didn't have time for a nap. We'd grab a sandwich. Freshen up. Back in church Sunday night. People don't serve God like that anymore. Who's with me? Back in church on Wednesday. Back on soul winning on Thursday. And a youth activity on Friday. I'm telling you, neighbor, I'm talking about people today are holding back. Get into that ship of service. There's no greater joy than serving Jesus. Are you serving Jesus? Who are you serving today? What are you serving today? That ship of surrender. Are you totally sold out to the will of God? Totally sold out. Oh, the Bible says you're not willing to sell out. Forsake your homes and your families and your friends. You're not worthy. Amen. Won't hear preaching like that today anymore. People are too comfortable. People too comfortable. People too committed to their hobbies. People too committed to yard work. Who's with me? There's some people with their yards are so immaculate. I mean, if there's one blade out of place, I mean, they're out there on their hands and knees. Oh, my soul! A dandelion! What am I going to do? Family, let's bow in prayer. Who's with me? Oh, listen, where is that? Selling out to God. Doing the will of God. We better get on board with the Lord. Well, we think we're on board with the Lord because we come to church. Oh, there's more to it than that. It's getting in that ship. It's getting on that thing and doing that thing that God's called us to do. He constrained them immediately straightway to get into that ship. Well, for one reason or another, they were holding back. Amen. That's why he had to constrain them. They were holding back. That's why he had to get verbal with them. They were holding back. He had to get over in their face. Who's with me? You ever have God get in your face? I have. There have been plenty of times God's had to constrain me. I said, no, wait a minute, Lord, are you sure about this? Who's with me? Well, some was holding back. What was it? I believe the first thing was the crowd, the people. We let the people hold us back. Who's with me? You let people hold you back. You let your family hold you back. You're letting your kids hold you back. You know, mom and dad, they love the Lord when they got little bitty kids, and the kids get to be teenagers. Who's with me? Then they let their children influence them. The crowd. I mean, it got so bad, Jesus had to send a multitude away. He said, I'm away. I mean, you're hindering my people. Oh, don't leave, don't leave. I mean, listen, what happened? They fed this group of people with a little bit of food and old people. I mean, that mentality today, that entitlement mentality has been around for years. Don't leave, man. You're the food source. He supplied us with all that. Don't go. Don't leave. We want you to stay. Jesus said, sent the multitude away. Fellas, don't let the crowd keep you from serving God. Don't let people keep you from serving God. Amen. Too much division today. So much division. That's the work of the devil. He wanted to divide those fellas. He tried to divide them up. You can't let the crowd cause that dissension, cause that division, cause that discouragement. Amen. You can't let the crowd determine what you should preach and what you shouldn't preach. You can't let that be an influence. Oh, well, stop giving. Well, stop. You can keep your money and let it rot in your hip pocket. That word for God. I've been doing it for 30 years now. Amen. Don't let the crowd. Moses went up and got the Ten Commandments. The people got impatient. Where's Moses? They got so impatient, they went to Aaron. Aaron, now you're the man. You're the man second in charge. The man of God. Build us an idol. What did he do? Built them an idol. Who's with me? He was influenced by the crowd. As a result, he didn't go in the promised land. Who's with me? All those people. Come out of promise. We can't go in. We can't go in. Oh, praise God. Caleb wasn't influenced by the crowd. Even though he had to wander, praise God. See, you let people. You let people keep you from doing what God wants you to do. Amen. You can't let people. You got to get in that ship. And there was a crowd, and then there was the clouds. Who's with me? There was a storm. Now, there's a lot of different types of theories you could have about that. But nonetheless, there was a storm. Amen. Now, perhaps the reason why the Lord was telling them to get into that ship right now was hopefully they'd be obedient enough where they could get in that ship and get over there before they hit the storm. But because they were hesitant, they ran into a storm. Who's with me? You know, a lot of times we like to blame God for all the storms we're going through. But the problem is, many times, because of our lack of faith, our doubt, we don't react right away when we're supposed to. We go through a storm. It's not God's fault. So you're hesitant. Who's with me? It was their intimidation that led to their hesitation. Well, perhaps they saw this big cloud out there and they said, Lord, we can't look at it. You want us to get in the ship? It looks like there's a storm coming. Well, you never hit the storm if you got in the ship when I told you to. Amen. Nonetheless, they had to get in the ship, storm or not. You obey God. You can't stop serving God just because there's a cloud. And I'm telling you, we live in cloudy days. I mean, you look at society today, man, there are clouds hanging over every place. We can't let the storms of life keep us from serving God. We can't let the situation, adversity, trials, tribulation, all of that, pressure, problems. Are you with me? You can't let those things keep you from serving the Lord Jesus. The lack of help, the lack of funds. I don't know how many times I hear pastors say, we can't have a revival because we can't afford it. Money. Who's with me? Lack of funds. You know, old David went down there in that valley and fought that giant. Are you with me? He didn't have no help. Who's with me? Say amen. He didn't have all the modern day technology. He had a stick. A stick. Who's with me? I'm going to go fight the giant with a stick and a rubber band. I got a stick and a rubber band. I can do it. Amen. I think some of these rocks will help too. I got some rocks. I got a rubber band. I got a stick. I can beat that giant. It wasn't a stick. Amen. It wasn't a rubber band. It wasn't the rocks. It was his confidence in God. His faith. He wasn't going to let the storm, his lack of resources, his lack of help, lack of different things. Oh, we all go through those situations. But you can't lose confidence. You can't lose faith in God. You got to get in that ship. You got to stay in that ship. Amen. Too many people got in at one time, but they jumped ship. They got away from the Lord. We better get on board with the... Are you on board with the Lord this morning? Or are you letting the crowd, letting the clouds? The Bible says here that He constrained them. But now, they're in a situation where the wind was contrary. Who's with me? Oh, listen, the wind was contrary. Everybody trying to avoid confrontation. Everybody trying to avoid confrontation. But Christianity is a confrontational thing. Amen. Those old time preachers took a stand for God. They said, don't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. Don't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. Amen. And so they said, we ought to obey God rather than man. When they finally let them out, then where'd they find them again? Out there preaching. Persecution. Who's with me? Say amen. We really don't stand for the Lord in this country. We don't stand for the Lord like they did. We stood for the Lord, we'd have some persecution. Put there on a marquee. Just a side thought. I would appreciate if you never put my name on a marquee. I owe money to too many people. They're always calling me. They find out I'm here, but I don't know. Well, put that out down the marquee where you stand on homosexuality. But we don't want to take a stand today. Now, you know, God wants us to be bold, not belligerent. We have to have wisdom. I understand. But if we really took the stand the way those old timers took the stand, neighbor, well, we don't want the confrontation. We're living in controversial times. Controversial times, you stand up and you preach the word of God, stem, wine, and leather, long hell, fire, brimstone, calling down the thunder, calling out sin. Amen. It's going to get confrontational. But oh, listen, who wants that? Who wants that? But Jesus said, get on board with the Lord. Get on board with the Lord. My dad finally led my grandmother to the Lord. Back in 1997. Letter to Christ. And my mom's mom. It's always good when you get the mother-in-law saved. Amen. Joyce has been praying for his mother-in-law. But and she has been praying for him. But who's with me? Letter to Christ. Letter to Christ. And my mom and dad got saved, you know, and we'd go up to the family reunions and things like that. And, you know, you get the Irish and the Norwegians together up there. It just ends up in a hockey game. A drunken brawl. When my mom and dad got saved, they went up there. They didn't drink. All of a sudden, there was some controversy. What, you too good? You too good? You get religion? You're too good! And they wouldn't listen to the dirty stories, the dirty jokes. They weren't smoking anymore, weren't drinking. And it was on a Saturday and a Sunday. We were, you know, staying with relatives, and we were going to church Sunday morning. We'd drive back home Sunday afternoon, go to church Sunday night in our home church. But it got so controversial, My dad didn't want to expose us to that anymore, so we stopped going. But my dad was able to lead my grandmother to the Lord. The first time my grandmother heard me preach, she wanted me to preach her funeral. 2 years later, she died. I went up Brainerd, Minnesota, preached my grandmother's funeral. 25 of my relatives trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Who's with me? You cannot stop just because of the controversy. Amen. Things are going to get more controversial for us Christians. It doesn't matter who gets in there as the president. It doesn't matter. It's going to get controversial. They all lie. Are you with me? They all lie. It doesn't matter who it is. They'll say anything to get elected. Who's with me? It only is we need to pray and ask God to help us. And to pray and ask God to guide us, lead us, give us wisdom in these areas. But neighbor, I'm telling you, too many times we've stopped sowing. We've dropped our standards. We don't preach anymore. Why? We don't want to deal with the controversy. And it sapped us of the power of God. Oh, He straightway constrained them. He had to urge them, compel them with some force. What's God constraining you to do this morning? Are you totally on board with the Lord about... But you got your own ideas about things. I got my own ideas about things. Are you on board with the Lord? You have that spirit of unity, that spirit of unction, that spirit of urgency in your life. He constrained them. They finally got on board. They got to the other side, and they were able to minister and do the will of God. Don't let anything hinder you from stepping out, doing what God's called you to do this morning. Father, thank you for your love. I pray you take the message. Help us, dear God, to recognize there's all sorts of people, problems, storms, controversy, controversial ideas, and Lord, help it not to cause division. Help us, Lord, to just fulfill your will. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you say, I needed that message this morning. God spoke to my heart. Lift your hand up, big or high. Big or high, all over the building. You may put your hands down. I've been holding back a little bit on some issues, on some situations. I've been struggling with some things. God and I know about it. We've been talking about it. God is telling me to do something. I'm not sure. I've got some doubt, situation. You say, Brother Murphy, pray for me. Slip your hand up, big and high. Slip it up there. Slip it up there. Slip it up there. You may put your hands down. Why don't you come this morning? Let God have His will and way. Get on board with the Lord. He'll straighten it all out. Yes, there's crowds. Yes, there's clouds. Yes, there's controversy. But don't let it stop you from doing the will of God. I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you come and trust Christ? You say this morning, please pray for me. I've been struggling with my salvation. Would you pray with me about that? Yes, I will. Slip your hand up and put it back down. I'll pray for you. I'm not sure I'm saved. Just slip it up and put it back down. I'll pray for you. Slip it up there and I'll pray for you. All right? I've seen a few hands. I'll pray for you. Don't leave this place unless you're on board with the Lord. Get in that ship of salvation. Get in that ship of service. Get in that ship of surrender. I'm telling you, we are living in those days. We can't hold back any longer. We've got to give it all to Jesus. Totally, wholeheartedly, get into that ship. Father, thank you for these hands. I pray you bless them. Those that need to be saved. Others, Lord, maybe there's some need to get baptized, join a church, whatever the decision. You have your will and way. Let's have everyone stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Christians are praying. You lifted your hand for prayer. Come on the first note right now as they begin to play. Would you come? Don't tarry. Don't delay. We prayed for you. We prayed for your salvation. You lifted your hand. I prayed for you. Ma'am, why don't you come and get saved? Why don't you come and get saved? I prayed for you. Dear lady, I prayed for you this morning. Young person, I prayed for you. Up in the balcony, we prayed for you. Why don't you come and trust Jesus? Maybe you need to come and join the church. Maybe there's just something you're struggling with. You're holding back. Why don't you come and ask God to help you with it? Don't let fear. Don't let fatigue. Don't let failure. But you can't let failure keep you out of the ship. get back in. We all fall on our face. We all fall on our face from time to time. Don't let failure, don't let fear, don't let those things keep you from doing the will of God. Hesitation many times will lead to irritation. Irritation. How many Christians today, their lives are, they're just irritable. They're restless. They're restless. No peace. Because you're hesitating. You're holding back. Where's the joy of the Lord? Is our strength. Don't hold back. Get on board with the Lord. Oh yeah, they hit a storm, but the Bible says, be of good cheer. Jesus was near. Jesus was there. He came down there. He worked it all out. He saved Peter from drowning. He put him back where he's supposed to be in the ship. They got to the other side. They continued the ministry. Let's let God have His will and way this morning. God spoke to your heart. You come. Brother Bradley.